Hey everyone, welcome back to Young Thought Leaders Podcast. Today we got a really special guest. We got Alex Simon, who is the first guest who shares the same county as I here in Los Angeles. Alex is the founder of Elude, which is a search engine app that helps you find out where you can go on your budget for global travel. So Alex, thanks for joining, man. How are you doing today?
Yeah, pretty good. It's beautiful here in LA, so happy to actually connect and definitely excited for it.
Yeah, definitely a gorgeous day. What a blessing it is to live out here. So for everyone that's like, whoa, travel anywhere on my budget, that's freaking cool. Like, what do they need to know about you? And really give us the origin story and the founding of Elude and where we are today.
Yeah, cool. So actually a few years ago, this kind of started. So myself and my co-founder, Frankie, we actually both were working full-time jobs over on the East Coast. So over in New York and New Jersey. And we basically wanted to travel anywhere at any time, basically. And in my particular case, my background's much more on the investment banking side. So I was working on Wall Street at the time for a few years. And to be quite honest, you just have really no time to yourself. It's like, you know, even the weekends, it's like you got to go into the office on a Saturday or, you know, pop in on Sunday morning, whatever it is. And you never really had the time to be able to just say, like, let me get away. And so any holidays or weekends that were like a three-day weekend, every single one of them, we were looking at places to just get out and go. It didn't matter where. I'm an avid traveler in the sense of, like, you know, going to 20, 30 different countries. That was like in the blood of what I'm trying to accomplish, and not spend $300 or $400 at Whole Foods, right? I wanted to go and see Barcelona. Like, that was the way that I was trying to kind of allocate my funds at the time. And it started really with me and Frank basically just coming up with, hey, where could we go this upcoming weekend? And honestly, at that particular point, it took us hours and hours upon end to try to figure out like a good destination that was both, you know, cost effective, but more importantly, you know, we can get out and just do that through a weekend. And we ultimately didn't go to different places at that particular point. And it really dawned on me and Frank, and we said to each other, hold on, you know, why don't we just create this? Because A, we would use it just for ourselves. And that's actually what kind of kicked off at that time, it was our web beta, which we were basically manually hacking away different itineraries that, you know, we created kind of a different search, if you will, kind of flipped it on its head. And then over the course of these last few years, really enhanced it in terms of automated the full process, you know, brought on really great partners, advisors, and investors to kind of boost out what the offering really is. But, you know, the goal of it is to really just be more spontaneous. And instead of going to the same location, let's say Miami for the 15th time, you know, in your life, or even the third time, go to Barcelona, go to Greece, go to, you know, Thailand, see different places that really kind of spark different curiosity and spontaneousness.
Yeah. And what a great origin story, right? I mean, the best businesses are built out of pain points. And yes. I think, you know, you and I being in the same age demographic, it's someone who I've always looked up to is Tim Ferriss, right? Like, the new rich is, you know, you could pick up in a heartbeats moment and go wherever the fuck you want.
That's exactly it.
And for me and my wife, our basis of our life is built on flexibility and travel. I could work here. I could work on the beach. I could work in Barcelona. And when I came across your app and we were really talking about traveling the world, this was like, holy fuck, someone did it. Like, yep. This is so cool. So I remember when we saw this, like, this year we were planning on going to do a Euro trip, and obviously COVID happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really love the concept. And for everyone that's listening, if you have a budget and you have time, this is the app to go to. It is freaking awesome. So, you know, Alex, the purpose of the show really is, you know, you had a great idea. You've been through four years and 7 months of this journey. You know, here we are today where travel is literally at a dead step. It's at a halt, especially for if you have the United States passport. What's business look like for you? Because every different industry is completely changed. And how are you guys really getting by? You even said before the call, you're having fun.
Yeah. So yeah, let me take a step back before I jump into saying that we're definitely having a lot of fun. I think building a business that you're passionate about, you're always going to find fun. I think that's from an entrepreneur standpoint, it's like, you have to enjoy what you like to do. And for me, yes, that doesn't mean that I'm going out and traveling right now, but I'm building a really cool foundation for other people to ultimately travel on. And I think, you know, having that kind of peace of mind and knowing that this will ultimately be used by a lot of people to see the world, you know, definitely hits that kind of passion side. So that's definitely the fun part of this. as far as kind of everything that's going on with COVID right now, I think what we're seeing is there's kind of two different ways. The one way is the optimistic view, and then the opposite, which is more or less not the pessimistic, but the kind of current situation that you need to deal with. The optimistic is that people are a little bit more kind of indoors right now, clearly, and there's definitely this pent-up demand coming and kind of brewing, right? It doesn't mean that it's, you know, the next month or the next 3 months, but we're definitely seeing a lot more people travel domestically, whether it's the next town over or the next state over, and just getting outdoors and kind of, you know, feeling a little bit more fresh air as opposed to being confined in their current home. That's, again, optimistic, but also understanding that in the next few months, things will hopefully start to change into kind of the positive. As far as the realistic, this is to your point with the American passport, there's a lot of limitations. In our particular case, the great news is that we have investors globally. And so it's not just here in the US, we have UK, Singapore, across Asia. And so what we're starting to see is that as much as it may be more domestic travel here in the US for a short period of time or up until kind of foreseeable future, already, you know, some different markets are starting to rubber band back, not as quickly and not as expected. But again, there's definitely that kind of sense of kind of rubber band that people are looking to go and travel and that pent up demand.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a great point there, right? Thinking big, you have investors that are global. Your platform is a global platform. And I could imagine someone's hearing this like, what, didn't Jordan just say he's been in business for four years and 7 months and he's in markets around the globe? So I know you were part of or still are part of the Cairo Society, which I know is a container that really helps entrepreneurs who have visionary ideas scale. Has that society helped you connect to these investors? Like, what's been the story from we have the idea to now your accessibility and your investors are really there to help you scale and sustain yourself?
Yeah. So great point about Kairos. I think we've loved being a part of that network now for the last few years. And when we were over in New York, definitely they've been assisting with whether it's introductions or advisors here and there in terms of how to scale and really kind of build the business that you want. I think taking a step back and just kind of sharing a little bit more about our journey, I think the biggest piece was that early on, we definitely made the decision to say, look, we don't know everything, right? As an entrepreneur, I think the worst case is to think that you know everything and approach it just the way that you would. You need to have outside input, but you need to have people that have done this before and understand, you know, the level of which, A, it's difficult, but B, the actual real route to go down. It's very simple to ask, you know, millions of people or hundreds of people and get different advice, but ultimately they've never done that, right? And so in our particular case, early on, we started to bring on really great advisors. And so these were, you know, CEOs and CTOs and CMOs of, you know, massive companies like, you know, Snapchat or Instagram or, you know, Skyscanner, places that we knew have infiltrated the market in a really good way, but kind of using those type of advices to start to actually build the foundation of Allude. And so early on, that was a huge pivotal piece for us to really scale different than just being kind of a traditional travel startup that was trying to make it within one market. I think our goal was, you know, we needed to take that step back. We realized that travel as a whole, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, in Los Angeles, if you're in New York, or if you're in, you know, Bangkok, right? Travel is kind of this global understanding of just different cultures and sightseeing in different places, whether it be food or locations. And we wanted to create a platform that felt that way without being too prescriptive on this is the way that you would travel in LA or this is the way that you would travel in, you know, New York. And so again, kind of taking that step back and getting advice from people that have scaled businesses to that degree has been really just that in itself was the light switch to say, okay, let's not look at it just from this level of perspective, but let's actually take a bit of a global view and start to see how we can navigate moving forward.
Yeah. And what an amazing point. I think the greatest entrepreneurs, they think big, right? And just that frame of mind, what's the difference of, I call it an evergreen strategy, like evergreen for marketing, meaning it lasts forever, but evergreen in this sense, meaning that it works for LA or it works for Singapore. So it sounds like the key to that for you was the relationships that you got into. You mentioned just two really, really big companies, right? Instagram, Snapchat. How did you go about forming those relationships?
Yeah, so definitely it takes time. I also think too, there's I guess a common misconception when it comes to entrepreneurs that if you ask for something and it doesn't arrive, meaning like, you know, you want to go and launch in a specific location or you want to get in contact with someone and it just doesn't happen, a lot of people, I'd say 80 to 90% of people will give up right then and go on to the next one. Now, mind you, that is a good, you know, situation to be in. It's just kind of like, okay, next person. In my particular case, and I know in terms of Allude, we actually came up with kind of a whiteboard early on in the days when we were starting out on key individuals that we actually were targeting. It didn't matter if it took a year. It didn't matter if it took 4 years. We knew that these were the people that could help us get to the next level, not only just from a connection and like, you know, network point of view, but much more from the angle of they have real advice that we want to address and they could help us kind of with that next leg. And so my advice is that, you know, yes, some of them were cold outreach, whether it's DM on Instagram or interconnections of different people that we've dealt with before, but it's just to be continuously persistent and give people updates, because the worst thing that you can do is reach out to someone and say, hey, we'd love to jump on a call. And, you know, a few months goes by and they never really hear from you again, but you've launched in this other location or you brought on this other advisor and they don't feel connected into that conversation. From the beginning, you know, we kicked off kind of a newsletter that said, look, everybody that's interconnected to what Allude is striving for, we want them to be in the know. It may not mean that I have a call with you, you know, every single day for the next few weeks, but at least you're aware of the progress that we've made. And you feel somewhat, you know, bought into our story. And, you know, we have asks on there. And again, like it helps with more or less the structure on how we start to evolve out. But early on, you know, it's having these kind of one-to-one chats, understanding what that person's drive is and trying to kind of leverage both their story and how that can kind of intertwine to yours. Because it's not just like a take. You know, it's got to be a back and forth. And
yeah. And if I were to highlight everything you just said too, I have a few points. One, it reminded me of Chet Holmes's Dream 100. Have you ever heard of that concept?
No.
So it's really quick story for everyone that's listening. Chet Holmes was Tony Robbins' number one sales consultant. He consulted when he was alive, the top, like, I think it was 40 of the top 100 businesses in the United States. And what he did was to form those relationships. He said, who are my top 100 gatekeepers, CEOs, that if I build a relationship will get me to where I want to go, right? Where I want to go being in your case, I want to go scale. I want to have millions of people on this platform so I could serve them. Who are the 100 people that are going to get me there? If you get 100 of those connections, 100 of those clients, 100 of those relationships, you know, the millions, it's the one to thousands or one to millions concept that when you get them, everything else follows. So on top of that, continue. You got the point.
Yeah, no. And I was actually, because what you're pointing out is actually much more too from the investment point of view. So I think that in our particular case, early on, we had angel investors that, you know, were friends of families or interconnections that we knew early on. Again, smaller size checks, but still was able to kind of bring us to the point that we needed. And as we started to kind of develop into that, especially building a travel company, you need a lot, basically you need a lot of money to build specific companies, but specifically in the travel realm, you know, these are antiquated processes. They've been around 10, 15, 20 years, and you kind of need to navigate around those, especially with these large businesses. And so in our case, you know, highlighting the right investors early on, it wasn't just about getting money or getting capital and scaling. It was, you know, how do we kind of leverage the right network that has done this before on a few other occasions? It doesn't need to be in travel, but, you know, scaled large companies. And in our particular case, you know, Mucker Capital here in LA was kind of our first institutional investor to really, as you put it, kind of be the catalyst for the others to come through as well.
Yeah. And I mean, it's exactly what we were saying, right? You have the one person that's that big domino effect. We got Mucker on board and then everyone's like, holy crap, they got Mucker. Like, what are we doing? Like, what why can't we be on there? And then, you know, we're all, I think the average is what, every human 6 degrees of separation away. There's no reason why you can't map that out. So the thing I love that you finished that with too, is you led with value. So many people, I think for us, it's just a common frame of mind, right? If you're going to be successful, you need to lead with value, right? Like if I just reach out to you on this call and said, hey, Alex, let's talk. I want to hear your story. It's no value. But if I say, hey, I have an audience to project your story to, and we could highlight your, you know, your platform, your business. Well, now it's a valuable exchange, right?
And I want to highlight on one other thing too, because I think this goes a lot without saying, and I do feel with the whole elude mindset, right, which is be more spontaneous and just kind of understand that things happen for a reason.
Love,
I think
that shit.
There's a lot of things that happen that indirectly may feel wrong, like at first glance, right? So that may mean that you need to push a meeting, or the meeting never happens and they intro you to another partner, right? And I'm giving examples here, but like, there could be situations that end up happening that may seem bad at first, but ultimately those actually are the largest catalysts in our particular case, where, you know, it feels like, oh, we should really be talking to this person, but after one conversation, you know, we've kind of upgraded, if you will, and was able to speak with someone that we didn't even know was possible, right? And so, like, there's ways that you know, life kind of hands different ways, but I like to always kind of put out that, you know, as much as being spontaneous is always great, there's things that you just can't control, and that's completely okay. But you need to kind of lean into that and understand that that's definitely worth pursuing.
Yeah. And I'm going to use that to kind of pivot the conversation.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, you're talking about a really big concept. It's called the concept, I say it, it's interfaith, right? Allowing for these serendipitous moments to happen to us and just trusting that's going to all be good. Right. And I believe that, and actually with the CIA publishing that manifesting is now scientifically proven, that what you think creates your reality, just trusting, I know that I might not know how to get there, but the road's going to follow, is such a critical perspective, especially on the entrepreneur when shit hits the fan.
Like, yep.
So taking that concept, I can tell your mindset, your energy is through the roof. Like, I could tell the positivity is there. Your frame of mind is around opportunity, is abundance, right? And then service and value. But it doesn't, we evolved to this point. So what's it been like for you establishing a routine of excellence as a business owner, right? Because people see the end product, they don't see the work that it took. What are some of your routines that allow you to maintain your energy that's really high, or your frame of mind to see opportunity and create for yourself consistently?
I love that question, and I completely agree. I think in my particular case, I think the way that I try to approach things is that you need to kind of, I always use this example of zooming out. And really what that means is that you kind of put yourself into a box. Everybody does this, right? Whether or not you work at a corporation or you're starting your own business, you kind of put yourself into where you're standing, right? And a lot of people only zoom out by the week or the month. And it's very easy and complacent to do that, right? So you're shooting for a goal. You're shooting for a promotion that's upcoming, maybe even next year, right? And so like this zoom out approach ends up really starting to dictate the way that you start to act in the current state, but also, you know, it's kind of setting yourself up for different expectations in the future state. And so the way that I like to do is have different check-ins with my own self of zoom out, not 1 month, not a year, but have that 3 or 5 year idea, understanding that almost none of that's going to happen, right? You have to have the realistic mindset where it's like, okay, these are all big dreams, but if those big catalysts are not the ones that are driving me into that direction, I'm going to just kind of become complacent in the way that I am doing. And I'm going to have the 1 month or the 3 month targets. And so by having that, I would say much bigger kind of idea phase, you really can start to shift the way that you're trying to approach expectations, and also have the realistic mindset to it, right? Don't say that you're going to get a promotion tomorrow if, you know, promotions don't come out until October, or don't say that you're going to hit $1 million in revenue if you haven't even created a website, right? So like you can create different levels of expectations, but then, you know, peel back that onion and basically understand what the steps are to get yourself to that point. And a lot of people, and this is like, I've seen this, you know, multiple different cases, whether it be working in corporate or also kind of on the entrepreneurial side, but a lot of people say that they do this. Okay. And it's very easy to sound all great and say, you know, I come up with a 3-year plan or some expectations. And then the second that something doesn't happen according, you know, to plan that you want, people give up and people just say like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'll push it out another month. Really kind of try to drive those different, you know, milestones to make things happen. And, you know, in my particular case, that's really what I've done. I think over the course of these last few years, it's been astounding really to just see, you know, what an idea can basically start with, and then ultimately building a team, you know, launching, scaling, you know, creating kind of international networks, right? That was never the goal, you know, from the start. It was really just like, let's come up with a cool way to book travel. And then as that evolved, you really can start to kind of see, you know, an idea get feet and kind of run with it.
Yeah. And it sounds like for probably so many people, what a revolutionary idea, but really the human brain is, it's a problem solving machine, that the second you set the intent of this is our 3-year goal, this is our 5-year goal, in the background of our subconscious, this is why I love the brain, it's constantly looking for patterns for ways to get to that 3-year goal. So when you break it down, one, it gives you exactly what you said. I feel kind of calm in the midst of the storm because I know where I'm going. I got my North Star. And two, it gives you specific action points. I know this goal, this month's goal, is going to scale all the way to my 5. And then finally, holding yourself accountable. I think that's a huge piece people miss. They might do the 3-5. They might do the 5-3-1 1 month. Yep. And then they might miss what I call the 15th protocol. Do you have a specific target this month? And do you have it broken down to this week and then next week? And then do you know, are you on track by the 15th of every month? That's why I call it the 15th protocol, because if you are not on track, what are we doing in the next 7 days to get you back on track, specifically and tangibly? So I love that accountability piece.
So I like that. I think this is also kind of a funny angle, but like when it comes to entrepreneurs, I think we love to create these different processes that make you know, things either simpler or overcomplicate things in some degree, right? But even if it's not yourself, find a friend, find a buddy, find a co-founder. In my particular case, Frank has been kind of my other North Star outside of my fiance in terms of like, you know, is this the right way for the next 3 or 5 years, right? Like you're building something that you ultimately want to grow, right? And yeah. So like you need to have those check-ins with the people that, you know, are there along the side. But, you know, it's very, very easy to miss those and, you know, to get kind of down on yourself when things don't really turn out to be the best way possible and not have those check-ins. But yeah.
Yeah. I love that you do that. I have the same type of thing with my buddy. He's in real estate. He runs his own real estate investing firm, and we're completely different worlds. But the benefit of having someone who has no reference to your industry is they provide such an outside perspective where you miss those details because you're in the thick of it. I love that.
The other thing I definitely want to kind of push, and I've been a huge advocate of this from the day basically that I started, you know, entrepreneurship in total, but like I am a huge advocate of, I fell into this, right? Like it wasn't the idea, it wasn't the passion. It, like, to be quite honest, I really loved my corporate job when it comes to investment banking and working in, you know, on Wall Street. Like I enjoyed that. But when you start to actually build something for yourself and you can quickly see that the time and energy that you put into has a direct compound effect into what you're seeing, whether that's building a business or making money or building network connections, my strongest recommendation is that for anybody who isn't doing something and they've always said, oh, you know, an idea is going to come to me, or, you know, or they want to get into entrepreneurship or even a side hustle. Like there's so many platforms right now that make it super simple for you to really just, you know, start. Like, I've been on this journey only for a few years, right? 4 or 5 years in total. And it's like, it's been the most exhilarating, incredible, you know, journey. But if I didn't make that first leap into doing something, and again, like early on, it was all part-time. You know, I was working up until 11 o'clock at night at Morgan Stanley, and then, you know, jumping onto a phone call with our developers until 2 o'clock, like getting onto the train, right? There's so many things that you can be doing, and it's just allocating that time properly and just starting, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could tell, right? You think big, but then you back it up with consistent action. That's reverse engineered so you know your priorities. Like that's what's keeping you on track. Awesome. Right.
That's exactly it.
And I think if the people that I've studied, right, the most successful in industries like the Titans, they all do that. Right. So it's no surprise that you're here in the midst of COVID. You're able to say, yeah, I'm having really fun. And we're able to see how this is actually going to provide us with great opportunity. It makes perfect sense when you back it up with your habits that you're doing on a monthly basis. So
I love that. Yeah.
Awesome. So Alex, I'm going to transition to the last piece of the conversation. And, you know, I talked about Array, but entrepreneurship, it's so sexy. Like it's fucking hot, right? Especially for the travelers and us. What are the pain points that you've been experiencing, especially because of COVID, like the things that people don't see, right? The things that like you don't catch in the Instagram coast? Like, what are some pain points that you may have experienced in the last couple months?
So I think this is actually to address the point of entrepreneurship is sexy. I think the largest reason that it is sexy, and I would probably be the biggest advocate for this reason early on when I was working full time, is you own your full time. You do exactly what you want to do, when you want to do it, for whenever long you want to do it, right? Like, that is very sexy. To control your own time is, I would say, the goal of life in my particular case, right? Yes. When you have, and mind you, I've been in situations where your boss is telling you, this is the deadline, this is the reason that we need to do it. And that's all well and great, you can get a paycheck and kind of build a great life through that channel as well. But ultimately, you're not the one who's driving. And I think that the biggest kind of setback when it comes to entrepreneurship is that that's constant. If you want to control your time, you need to do everything in your power to make certain that time is yours to control. And so you kind of have to create your own level of structure. And a lot of people are not willing to do that, right? So entrepreneurship is sexy, and people want to go and create their, you know, their business and control their time, but they also don't want to give up the level of risk, right? Or, you know, they want to be a little bit more comfortable. They want to go on one vacation a year and, you know, and eat out every few weeks. And again, I'm giving examples of like situational stuff, but in order to make that jump, it really is not a jump in terms of finance or anything like that. It's a jump in mindset. Mental. To say, yeah, you know, I'm doing this and this is, you know, in order for me to control my time, I'm building the business that I want to do. Now, mind you, that may come with terrible months, right? Or terrible days of like, you know, you didn't land this client or you didn't get this investment or you're running out of money or, you know, you're hitting all of these different angles. But at the end of the day, that's the trade-off of you kind of controlling and being the driver of what is happening in your life. And again, I know that it's sexy. I think it's sexy from the outside, and it's even sexier when you get in, right? Because you start to realize, oh, wait, you know, I am controlling everything that's around me in that sense of, you know, building your weekly schedules. But I think taking that step back and going back to my earlier point of zooming out, you know, that's not the goal. The goal is not just to have, you know, your time and use it. It's, you know, how can you benefit other people and get people to do things that, you know, they'll enjoy to do, simpler, you know, more effective. And then ultimately in our particular case, you know, provide actual value that people can go and see places that they never really dreamed of. Right. Mm-hmm. I have an example of, there's somebody that this is an early client, but like, you know, they were looking at places for a few hundred dollars and they were really only scoped into the United States at the time. They lived in New York. And we said, well, look, for the same price, you can get to Paris, you know, for this weekend. And their mind was blown. They said, you know, I never imagined that I could actually get there for less than $1,000. Like, you guys must be doing something wrong. And, you know, him and his girlfriend at the time, you know, flew out there and enjoyed their stay. But like, you know, it's things like that that you're just completely unaware of from the beginning. And the second that you start to get aware, you know, awareness around it, it becomes like that drug. It's like, oh, like, let me keep doing this. So yeah, that's my story around that.
Drop completely shattering the paradigm. I love that story because as you were saying that, it was making me think how it's so common to do a red eye from, I'm from Long Island. So I have friends that are doing red eyes from long, like JFK out to LAX and they're here for 3 days. But you know, what if you just go more east instead to Europe, right? And no one thinks like that. And I love that, how you highlight that point.
Yeah, it's and again, it's kind of like pulling the, you know, the shade behind and kind of seeing the inner workings. I think a lot of people are just, and this is by no fault of, you know, of kind of the way that we're living in now, but like, people are just completely unaware of really what the cost is to get to these locations, right? $400 round trip to Thailand, people are saying, no, you're crazy. It's got to be $4,000, right? The level of difference that people are actually seeing versus what it is, that's what we're hoping to kind of bring to light and you know, just show people, hey, you know, get out there and kind of experience different cultures, especially when COVID is you know, settled and a little bit more under wraps.
Yeah. And I love that last point, right? The, you know, I believe that we grow when we get exposed to new ways of thinking, new cultures, new ways of being, and it expands our horizons in ways that if we stay in our bubble, it never happens, right? So I love how you're shattering the paradigm of all of your everyone in your network, all your clients, all your customers, because for me, I think that's what helps us live towards our potential. It's what helps us get like the best fulfillment out of this lifetime. So thank you. Really, I think it's a great work. I really do.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Yeah. And last piece on that, I think the bubble doesn't just consist of, you know, of where you're living or what you're thinking. I think, you know, that definitely goes back to some of the earlier points that we mentioned of whether it's having your 3 or 6 month goals and like, you know, only thinking what you can be doing in those short amount of time is like really take that step back and understand that, you know, as this kind of globe starts to evolve, whether it be through COVID or different situations, right? Like you want to get out there, you want to understand other people and you want to get just more knowledge about places and people. And so, and do something with that. And so I'm a huge advocate for travel. I'm a huge advocate for, you know, being a little bit more optimistic and passionate about what I'm doing. And I'm very happy that we were able to connect.
Yeah, man. So Alex, I'm looking at the time. I want to be totally respectful of your time. So for all the listeners that were like, this guy's the fucking man. I love him. I need to get on Elude. Where can they go to find you? You or your company?
Cool. Yeah. So if you go actually, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn as well. But if you go on LinkedIn and just, you know, type in Alex Simon Elude, I should be the first one that I got tattoos everywhere. So it's that photo of me with the tattoos. And then as far as Elude, we've actually just launched a private beta. So if you're interested in jumping into that, go to elude.co. And so elude.co will get you added to the list and we'll shoot across the latest download to play around with.
Awesome. Well, Alex, thank you so much. And then the final question of the day, how could I be of value for you? How could I help you or your journey?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I appreciate you blasting this out to your network. I'm excited to kind of see different responses. And to be honest, you know, anybody who's interested in jumping into entrepreneurship, it doesn't need to be in travel. It doesn't need to be in kind of, you know, anything really business related on that front. But I'm always, you know, I'm a huge advocate of giving back to other entrepreneurs that are just starting out or just trying to, you know, get into different markets, because I know what it's like to try to do that simply because we've been there. And so anything that I can be doing when it comes to your network, you know, always happy to kind of, you know, be someone that could shed some light into some different areas. So really appreciate you pushing that out.
Well, thanks, Alex. Well, dude, you have a wonderful day. Like, I'm so excited, man, to see where you guys come on the back end of this, because clearly the positioning's there for success. So cheers
We're
to
excited.
You. And so much appreciation coming from me, man. So have a good one.
Awesome.
All right.
See you guys. See ya.